Hello, lovely hogs. Andrew here, and we are so excited to bring Trusty Hogs Live all over the world. Yes, as you listen to this, we have one date left in Australia at the Sydney Factory Theatre. That is on the 27th of April. And then we are back in the Northern Hemisphere with Dublin. Yes, we are so excited to come to Ireland for the first time. We're bringing Trusty Hogs Live to the Laughter Lounge on the 4th of June. Tuesday the 4th of June in Dublin, there's going to be an Irish history lecture from Heather. There's going to be drunken karaoke. There's going to be problem solving. All sorts of chaos. All the usual. It is not to be missed. Make sure you get your tickets early because we are expecting to sell out. TrustyHogs.com/tour for all the tickets and info. That's Dublin on the 4th of June. Then we are into July with Bristol, Brighton, Edinburgh in August, London at the Clapham Grand on the 16th of October, and then we close out our tour in Manchester on the 6th of November. So make sure you go to TrustyHogs.com/tour. Get your tickets quick because some of these are already sold out. Some of them are very nearly there, and we cannot wait to see you.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello, hogs. Tis I, Catherine Bohart. Not said tis before, at least probably. Well, now I've said that I haven't. I probably have, and probably some of you can name the episodes where I have. Goodness me. Hey, I'm in Edinburgh this week, and Helen Bauer is not, which means we've really struggled and have not been able to make you an episode. What we have been able to do instead is on the main feed, we are resharing an oldie but a goodie. It's our episode with James Acaster. Couldn't believe we got him on the show. Don't know that he could believe he was there either. And we had a laugh. Turns out he's friends with Helen and they go Pokemon hunting together. I hope I haven't spoiled that, but there it is. Now, if you are a patron, and hey, you should be, we'd love to have you over there. There are loads of benefits to being over there. One of which is that this week you can listen to my dispatches from Edinburgh. You can listen to how it's going. I'll tell you all about how my run is going, how my show is developing, and I'll also introduce you to a bunch of lesbians and other queers that I loved and always have loved the comedy of, and I got to speak to while I was there. So I've been kind of running around. God, I'm really changing my tenses. It's because, okay, honestly, it's because I'm in on the floor of my office packing for Edinburgh as I record this. But I will be in Edinburgh when you hear this, and you will be listening to things I have recorded at the in Edinburgh, but by the time you listen to them, I'll have already done them. God, it's weird, this world, isn't it? And they say we haven't invented time travel yet, eh? Sorry, that was such a Helen Bauer line. The point is this. I am going to talk to some people, I hope. Apparently I'm going to talk to Geraldine Hickey, and I'm supposed to talk to Chloe Petz, and I'm going to try to talk to Shelf. Now, whether or not I've achieved that by the time I see you, we're not seeing each other. You're listening to me. Goodness. This is me before I go to the Fringe. I think it's going to go well. I think it's going to be a great run. I think I'm going to have a great time. And I'm going to send you some dispatches. If you are on our Patreon feed, you will get that. About 25 minutes of content is what I'm promising. Let's see what I actually deliver. And hey, have a great week. Enjoy James Acaster. And I will see you all very soon. By that, I mean I'll be up in your ears all over again. Bye.
Hello, lovely trusty hogs. Andrew here, just to quickly clarify. When we decided that James Acaster would be a good episode to re-release, we had entirely forgotten that it was actually a Christmas special. So enjoy this mid-August Christmas festive special.
Christmas time.
No.
Mistletoe and us.
Make it stop.
Talking about Christmas stuff. It's Trusty Hogs with Helen and Catherine.
No.
Welcome to the show.
You know,
hi,
we have
hogs.
A theme tune.
Hi, hogs. I hate the song. Hi, hogs.
That
Happy
was
Christmas.
Bad for an improv.
No, you did all right. Happy
Thank
Christmas,
you.
Everybody. Through the fog.
that's your problem. They'll have guests and Andrew White on the tech. Oh, it's Helen and Catherine as the trusty hogs. Trust the trusty hogs, or maybe not.
Happy Christmas feels like it puts a lot of pressure on it. It's Christmas. We hope you're having an okay week.
And if you're not, it's just another week at the shitty part of year. It's cold outside. Yeah. There's no good vibes. If you're not into Christmas, it's a rough time.
Mm-hmm, but also the TV's good and you don't have to answer emails on Christmas Day. So, you know, swings and roundabouts.
It works out in the end.
But if you're excited about it, that's also a great life is... it's sometimes hard to find joy in, so if you're loving it, fucking love it, embrace it. That's also a lot.
I think I'm feeling it a bit this year.
Good for you.
Like the vibes, I'm feeling Christmas vibes, but Christmas I'm always like, oh man, like it does feel like days I've got to get through, even though I like my family, I love them, they're great. Yeah. It's just, it's a lot of pressure to be having fun. It's like going to Thorpe Park. Yeah. Like you can't not enjoy it, but sometimes the ride, like the queue for Colossus is so long, it just doesn't feel like it's worth it. Because it's only a 10 looper, you know?
I don't. Okay. I would say that I would not go to Thorpe Park, so no. For me, I think last year was so shit, like so epically shit for me. I know you loved it, but I hated it. That I actually feel like this Christmas can, in a way, for every Christmas in my life has always been like, it's got to be amazing, it's got to be perfect, it's going to be brilliant, it's got to be magical, it's got to be like on the TV. Now I'm like, it just needs to not be like last year, and it'll honestly be whatever it is will be great.
There's things we want to discuss Christmas as it actually is on this episode. So normally we sort of like, we talk about some problems people are having, we're awful agony aunts for you. And I feel like this one, we just want to go through some Christmases of our past.
Yeah. What, like our own horrible...
Our own horrors.
Our own ghosts of Christmas past.
And then we've got our wonderful guest, James Acaster.
James Acaster is
Hello,
here.
Hello, yes please.
And James helps us solve our listener problem this week. And actually it was a really good question for him. Also, he's just, I mean, surprise, guys. James Acaster, don't know if you know, kind of funny.
Very funny.
I mean, I didn't enjoy how much you guys talked about Pokemon, but fine. It happened.
We're both good players. Let it be.
I've moved on.
Thank you very much.
Christmas gift to you. I'm just moving on.
And we'll talk about our Christmases with him as well. But I think we would want to go through the back catalogue of Christmases we've suffered in our youth.
I feel like you're like, I'm just going to push this until she asks because I do have some therapy that needs doing.
I've gone through a lot of different Christmas times, okay?
Tell me a favourite Christmas gift.
Favourite Christmas gift. Ever?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got a typewriter.
What?
And I loved it for about 2 hours.
How old were you?
And it was incredible. I was like, oh, it must have been like 6 or 7. And I must, I saw, no, like an early learning center one. Don't picture like an, a
oh,
vintage
Oh, like a Fisher typewriter. Prize.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I was like, what are you talking? Like, ka-ding.
Really big buttons, like plastic, 100%. Not like, my mum wasn't going around like auctions.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, what?
And I must have seen something on TV or like read a book where someone was using a typewriter and I was like, that's my truth. That is me.
Culture.
That's me. And also, we were going through a phase at school where the coolest girl at school was really good at writing and reading. I don't know how to explain it.
Isn't that just academia?
Academia, but she
we
was like...
We were going through this weird phase at school where like, the cool one was the one who could like read. What?
There's this really cool girl at our school. She could read and write. It was mad. she was amazing. And like, whenever we had to like write a short story, like you'd always want to be partnered with her because she'd write a really cool short story. And we were like, oh my God, she's going to get published. This is insane. Like it was a whole thing.
You were six and you were like, yeah. Oh my God, she's going to... Also, you had to collab on short stories?
Well, I did. They were like, oh, Helen can't do it by herself. No. Put it with someone else. So I was like, and like, no skills.
That's interesting. I would have thought of you as like, if anything, you were asked to write a short story and you provided like a tome on your feelings
on the day. I could do a play.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, exactly.
If I was able to act it out, then 100% to sit and write, no, I needed Kath Soper. Thank you, Kath. Okay. Who is now a very successful playwright. It all comes round. It all makes sense in the end.
She made it.
Always going to.
Well, I'm glad that you played with it for 2 hours. What happened to it thereafter?
So then I didn't realise that you couldn't delete and you had to restart. And I was just like trying to write like one thing, probably like a list of people I need to send thank you letters to, whatever the Christmas Day version of like fun is. Because I couldn't delete after my print made a mistake, which was constant.
Yeah.
I had to like rip it out and start again. And then I was just like, I don't like it anymore. But for that 2 hours, I felt like Joe March.
Oh,
it was
love that.
Incredible.
I was thinking, that's so nice. That's
I know.
Sweet.
How about you? Best gift ever?
I think actually, and we discussed this with James, so I won't give too much away, but while it did break my heart in some ways, which we did discuss with him, ultimately I did get a purple bike, Ladybird bike. And my mom set it up in such a way that when you open the living room door, it was there like gleaming
This
huge purple bow on. And it was just like, it was my first like grown up bike. It wasn't like a kid's bike. And I just was like, it was everything I wanted. It was so cool. And I mean, little did I know that I was just turning into the like age where I would rather fucking do anything than cycle to the shop. But at the time, I was like, this is freedom.
Yeah.
This is my way out.
That
man.
Genuine belief that you found the thing
this
that will make you.
This is me. This is mine. Wow. The world is our oyster.
Wow. And how many times do you reckon you use that bike?
Well, I'd say my period started properly, like heavily, within a 9-month period of that. So I wasn't, but that makes it sound like I was pregnant at the time.
No.
12. But
again,
like,
the period started.
But once that happened,
sudden.
I was like, it was like, do you want to go for a cycle? And I was like, are you calling me fat? It's like, so really after that, it just sort of sat in the shed.
Any sort of exercise equipment for Christmas, as soon as you turn a certain age, it's just going to be rough.
Yeah, exactly.
And it should just be a fun bike. No. And instead, all of a sudden, it's like, what are you trying to say?
Yeah, how dare you? This helmet's going to ruin my hair. But
I remember that. We'd always get chocolate coins in our stocking, as well as like a Satsuma. And then like, I would automatically go for the chocolate coins, and it was all fun and games. And then I turned 13, and I was eating the chocolate coins, and I was like, why is everyone looking at me? Why are they judging me?
Yeah, exactly.
And it should just be a fun thing.
Like,
and
no one cares.
By the time I was 14, I learned open chocolate coins, put them somewhere hidden in my bra, and then take them upstairs because you've got a secret, because otherwise Santa will judge you. Like, so obsessive.
I love how we both took really lovely gifts that our parents had clearly worked for and tried, and were like,
don't.
And the way in which that fed into my neurosis was the following way. Okay, great. Do you have any?
I remember one year I got toe socks in my stocking, and this is when toe socks were everything.
They were everything.
Are they in again? Can we get them?
I don't think they're in again, but if we could get them, does anybody know where we can get
toe
socks?
It's 2 days to Christmas. Mummy, if you're listening, I want toe socks.
Mine were rainbow colours.
Mine too.
Oh, I loved them.
Ladies size 9 wide fit.
No.
Me too! They were Claire's accessories.
Well, yeah, because I got them when I was like 15, so they weren't like wide fit, 9 size 9.
So great.
They were amazing because that was also the era of when I was like wearing pajamas under my uniform and would pull up my socks to keep them up and hidden.
Stop.
Like, we all did this like little weird pirates because we weren't allowed to wear tights. We had to wear the school socks and we would be freezing. So we'd all wear our bulky pajamas underneath.
Mad.
Like some sort of like, you know, those like, what are they, bloomers underneath that women used to
wear? Yeah, we were Victorian
like that
day
in
bloomers.
School. Yeah, we were like that. So the toe socks under your school socks were a game changer.
They were also just so freaking cool.
Oh,
like,
they were
you
amazing.
Just looked awesome with toe socks on.
It felt
on.
Like a thing Tia and Tamira would wear, and you were like, this is...
It's sister vibes, 100%.
I loved it so
remember
much.
One year I wanted a Spice Girls dress, and I really wanted a Spice Girls dress. And I don't know what a Spice
What's
Girls dress... I don't know. I think maybe...
Like a Union Jack?
Maybe the Union Jack dress, or like, there must have been like a dress in BHS that had Spice Girls on it. It's like, I want that. So my mum made one.
Oh no.
And just glitter glue the red spice across the front.
No!
Which is so loving but so wrong.
Yeah.
And you know when you're like, I've got to be grateful,
right.
But she's fucked it. She is absolutely fuck this. So you're there like, don't cry.
I know.
You can't cry because you got given the wrong gift.
I know.
And then you're just there and then like Uncle Jerry arrives and he's like, do you love it? And I'm like, it's awful. The stitch work is terrible. Christmas is ruined.
I just want the BHS Spice
Girls. And then you're
dress.
There, you're eating your coins, but they're all finished. And everyone's like, just have the Satsuma. I don't want it!
Also, can I just say, we never got Satsumas in our stockings because I think that that's just passag and rude. It's like, if you didn't want to buy me another gift, don't buy me another gift, but don't give me your filler fruit. So I support
it's
you
tradition.
Fully.
It's
not tradition in my house. Absolutely not.
I would say that sometimes, because obviously it'd be cut at the very bottom of the stocking.
Yeah. Oh, the last thing you take out is an underwhelming...
And it's squashed. It's squashed by everything,
No.
I remember as well, me and my siblings all had different stockings that we did choose ourselves, and mine, size-wise, I fucked it. I fucked it for myself.
I hate that.
And it's not like you're trying to fill it when you're younger, but you are.
You are. What are you talking about? Of course you are.
That's the main aim of it.
Absolutely. Got any...
We're such fucking brats. God bless us all. God bless us all.
My Clementine would be squashed because there were so many presents on top of that. Good God. So tell me, please, do you have anything in your family tradition-wise that you do that you're going to keep up?
So this is the thing. Like, your family is super, super Christmas. My family, a little bit less Christmassy. Like, we don't all, like, go... We used to go to church when we were younger, but that stopped. Like, we don't go crazy decorating. We kind of never did. We only decorated, like, 4 days before Christmas. Like, it wasn't, like...
your tree 4 days before Christmas?
Yeah, her mum was running her drama school from our living room, so the tree would be in the way of her doing her improv exercises.
I love the idea that the tree can't be there because it's not always Christmas in the scene. Like,
so, like, if anyone who's new here, my mum ran an illegal drama school from our living room the entire time I was growing up, teaching children how to improv for cash in hand. It was a great time. And that would be where she'd teach. Then we wouldn't put the Christmas tree up. And then when we decorated, we went a bit, but we didn't go crazy. Like, our advent calendars were pictures. Like, we were that
house. Can you stop with all of your weird, sad stories and just give us, like, one nice tradition?
One nice tradition.
It's like one thing. Oh,
but it's all nice. But we all open gifts together downstairs. We didn't have stockings in the room. I say our nice tradition is we always go on a Christmas Day walk, which now I'm old enough to opt out of. Oh. I can just stay here and chill.
I was like, that's love.
It's my favourite part of Christmas Day. We're all having a nice time. And then, like, obviously, like, the uncle's my dad and they're like, it's walk time. And I'm like, it's cold outside. It's raining. I'm absolutely having nothing to do with this. So I'm like, it's not walk time for Helen. I'm staying in. Ideally, they all go out. Sometimes people also stay behind now, which is fine. But I just want to watch TV. And usually it's after lunch. So then I can finish what I wanted to have for lunch, but didn't want to because my mum was looking and judging. Yeah. So I can go back and make my sausage sandwich.
Yeah. I will say this, actually. For a little while, I was the only one who didn't go to mass. And obviously, like, drama, but also that blissful 2 hours.
I know.
Where it was like, I can eat my Percy pigs out of my stocking mm-hmm. for breakfast. I can mm-hmm. eat, I can be like, I can do whatever. I just mm-hmm. watch the Christmas TV, sit in my PJs. Mm-hmm. So good. But alas, yeah, people stay back now. Okay, that was a really terrible story about your Christmases.
I know, I made it sound awful. Like, it's okay. It's just that I'm not, like, I don't dread Christmas.
Yeah.
But I do find it something I... don't, like, it doesn't make my year.
One controversial tradition that we have I really enjoy is that we have stockings in the morning, we have breakfast
at the ripe old age of 31.
Yeah, 33, still getting my stocking, baby.
Where's the 31 for dignity?
You tried to move, but nope, 33, baby. And
33 running downstairs. Oh my God, what Father Christmas got us?
Literally. Although it's better than when my mom used to make us as children stop at the manger and sing happy birthday to Jesus before we'd go in and open the Christmas.
Seriously,
Christmas.
God bless the Irish at this time of year. God fucking bless the Irish.
Every year.
What would you sing? Away in the manger?
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday,
dear Jesus, or baby Jesus.
Just to be clear, Jesus was not born then. Jesus was 100% born in April. Didn't they find that out? And he's 100% an Aries.
Okay, well, anyway, we would
sing...
There's
no way Jesus is a Christmas sign.
Yeah, because it was, like, meant to match with, like, a winter pagan festival. So they moved it all.
Yeah, it's actually April, baby.
Yeah, no, like, none of it's real, guys. I don't know what the issue is. The point is...
I'm just saying, just sing it in April. I'm not saying don't sing it, just sing it to him in April.
Okay, well, I'll mention that you should sing happy... We can't really... It feels rude to sing happy birthday on his death day, which is... The point is...
It's like Shakespeare, born and died on the same day.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, Shakespeare died on his birthday.
Both very... Right,
good for him.
No, that's not true. Tell me,
you'd go and sing happy birthday to the baby Jesus. We're not laughing at your Christians, we're celebrating them. Okay, great.
Sing happy birthday to Jesus and then we'd go in. But anyway, what the point of that story was actually to say that the tradition that we do is we have our stockings in the morning, we have our breakfast, they go to mass, and then we watch some TV or whatever. I'll go for a run usually. I know you hate that part.
Hey, you got to do what's true to you. It's
we live on a canal, so or not on a canal, but by a canal. So all the canal boats get done up for Christmas, so I quite like running by them.
So the whole of Ireland goes all out?
No, I'm just saying I get to run by the boats and be like, I'm glad it's Christmas and I don't live on a boat. And then I... then I get back to my house, you know, like a little bit of a Christmas appreciation
and
mindfulness. And then, but the thing we do after dinner is then we do our presents. And people hate this.
You wait until after dinner?
We used to have our Santa present in our stocking and then everything else was after dinner. And it was so, it's so amazing because, first of all, my mom does it very dramatically. She puts every single present into what she calls a Santa bag. And then she takes one out.
A stocking.
No, this huge bag. She takes one out each and then she'll announce the person who it's to, who it's from. And they, we would like clap. They'd open it. They'd say, they'd say what it is. They'd say what it is. They'd be like, so my mom would be like, Catherine, it's for Catherine from Auntie Bernie. And then I'd open it and be like, it's a fairy toy or whatever. Or
and they'd all clap again.
And everyone's like, yay! And then if it was from someone in the room, you'd be like, thank you, mom. Thank you, mom. And it would make it last like an hour and a half, but also was like, a really good way of checking you got the same number of gifts as your siblings, that nobody was the favourite, and also of like really like making it evident when I love it. I like it did make it very obvious because everyone was watching.
It's like Christmas at a care home.
I was thinking like primary school students and like, and Susie brought her tambourine.
Yeah.
Well done, Susie.
But can
I just say, it doesn't feel like a family just relaxing and having fun together, does it?
But it was, no, I love it. And I love, my mom loves the ceremony and the pomp. She's like the mayor of Christmas. And also like, also the thing is like, that way you get presents in the morning, you have breakfast, you have like the big dinner, it's so lovely, and then there's also presents in the evening.
This
lasts
the whole
day.
I think our Christmas dinner isn't good because my mum doesn't want to cook, right?
Yeah.
So we each bring a dish, so okay. It's just a mishmash of like, I'll pick up some sausages from Co-op, like Michael will bring
my
dad's
chilling.
Always in charge of the cheese board. He just brings one block of cheddar, one of Red Leicester, which is £2 for £3.
Oh,
and then he's
tragic.
Like done, and we're like fair enough, and then no one touches it. And then on Boxing Day, inevitably I'll wake up, my brother will just be eating like 200 grams of cheddar with Marmite spread across the top of it like it's just a piece of cake, and I'll be like Merry Christmas, and he'll be like, oh, do you want to see each other this year? And I'll be like, nah, and he'll be like, okay, cool. Like, that's the whole vibe.
You know what, I thought we would have to actually like, I thought,
but it's fine. No. I'm fine. I like it.
Yeah, such a high
Christmas.
Pitch. I can really tell. The thing about this podcast was I was worried about doing a Christmas episode because I thought like, we don't want to over-amp how great Christmas is when sometimes people don't have a great time around it. But actually, what I now find myself having to do is to go like, it's not that sad. It's not that bad. You might have an okay time.
The thing about Christmas is I don't know how I stand in it. It's like, I don't want anyone else to feel bad or have a bad time. Because I'm like, it's such a great time. But then with me, I'm like, it's a bit shitty. And
but
then,
have you considered, first of all, that sausages from Co-op are not a dish, as you described
they
them.
Are a dish.
But also, have you considered maybe bringing like a brie and some crackers?
Yeah, but I'm not in charge of the cheese. Michael's in charge of the cheese.
Take it away from him.
Yeah, why don't you say, I'll do the cheese board this year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good point. My Uncle Jerry's the only one that crushes it. He does booze and he just arrives and he brings me all my wine bottles. And because I can't eat a roast without ketchup, he brings me like a big ketchup every Christmas.
I don't know.
No.
Which is super sweet of him.
Maybe you wouldn't be better at
it. Because I don't particularly enjoy the taste of a roast. For me, it's a bit bland.
You know, maybe you should all just go out. Just go to a restaurant.
Yeah, why are you gonna...
This is what I've been suggesting because no one wants to cook. None of us are cooks. Like my mum's like...
But that's kind of why the cheese board needs to be so good, because it's the no cooking part. Crackers, grapes, lots of lovely cheeses, walnuts. Like,
but no one's going to do it. No one's going to set it up. It'll end up being on a plate.
What do you mean set it up? You just have to get the cheese out.
Yeah,
just
there's no wooden board, you know.
A plate would be fine.
If I try and play Christmas music, then my mum's going to have a migraine. Like, you can't quite win.
I have a migraine listening to your Christmas. Andrew, do we need to buy the Bowers a Christmas, like, cheese board?
Yeah, or just like a voucher for like a Green King or something and
a
let
what?
Somebody else do it. Oh, it's just a pub chain.
Just
yeah.
A pub chain.
Let them do your Christmas dinners. Just this please. Is really
but
sad.
I said, so I wanted this year to do Christmas in Brighton because then I was like, we can go and have like a nice curry or something and just have like a chill Christmas day. But my mum wants to host it, which I totally get because we didn't have Christmas together last year because of the lockdown. But now I'm just sort of like, so is it just going to be like us just sitting around staring at each other? Don't mention the divorce.
What if?
Because I will. If there's a lull in it, I'll be like, anyways, is this awkward for you? Because I feel tense. Your dad's got a girlfriend. I'm mad as that.
Helen, in that, okay, so that's what you...
Oh, if you're listening to this, family members,
Helen,
stop now.
Look at me.
I'm looking at you. I'm chill.
Okay, let's do just like a displacement replacement sort of...
I don't know what that is, but 100%.
Okay, so every time you think, I'll mention the divorce, I want you to use that time to replenish the cheese, the crackers, or the chutney. So I want you to focus your... I want you to take your divorce energy and put that into the cheese board. It would be the best cheese board that's ever been.
But how much if no one has it?
Look at me.
Okay.
You're going to win them back with the cheese board like you wish.
Why have I lost them?
No, you're going to compensate for the divorce with the cheese board. They're going to love it. They're going to embrace it and they're all going to come together around it. This is you fixing your family is the cheese board.
I'm telling you now, if I do that, my mum will suddenly have a lactose intolerance that we've never heard of.
That's
honestly,
fine.
3 years ago, she got
That's
an EpiPen
fine.
That she bought
That's
because
fine.
She's allergic to coconut
you've
now.
You've prepared for every eventuality. Oh, that's right. There's a beautiful company called the Old Tyne Cheese, and it's cheese with an A, and they make beautiful vegan cheese that she can eat. You have it. You're ready to go, Marks and Spencer's.
Oh,
vegan
seriously,
cheese.
I'm waiting for Marianne to bring Pancake down in the carry cart, and I'm going to sit with Pancake and just stuff myself stupid.
With the cheese board.
That's what I'm going to do.
So what's going to be on it?
Brie.
Yeah.
Can your brother spread Marmite on Brie?
He can spread Marmite on anything.
It can be one of the dishes.
Oh, Ted can do bloody anything he puts his mind to.
A Brie?
A camembert.
Those are two soft cheeses, so why not just have a Brie? Make it easy for yourself. Camembert, off.
Cheddar. Baby Bells, cheese strings.
No.
Dairy Dunkers.
No. Roll back.
A Leaning Tower of Cheese.
No, roll back. What about like...
Wensleydale.
Lovely. Yes. What about like a Cornish Cruncher?
No idea, but yep, absolutely
it's like
fine.
It's delicious.
Do they serve them in Co-op?
They sell all of these. They actually sell ready-made cheese boards. So like a mix that's already
I know, but they come with loads of plastic and my family are super like anti-plastic.
Okay, but you could copy it. You could look at what it is and then just buy the cheeses that aren't so covered in
That's
packaging.
A good point. Okay, fine. I'm doing a cheese board.
Yeah!
I've got 2 days to get a cheese board together. Yes. And that's going to take me a minimum 5 days.
No, it's not.
I reckon it will.
We'll go after. I'm going to help you.
Yeah, but you don't have this because your mum does the cheese board.
But I can lay it out. I bring stuff.
What do you bring to Christmas?
And when I make a cheese board, I do like sliced apple, candied walnuts.
See, this is what I'm saying. Like, that's mad, isn't it? Like, it's nice. And I would love it if someone presented it to me.
I will present it to you.
But there's no, you're coming to my mum's house.
With a cheese board. I'm going to make that family right.
Could you imagine just knocking on the door and then being like, who are you? Who are you? I work with your daughter. Which one?
Me just being like, don't worry, one of these relishes is actually ketchup.
Oh, no, there's Gerald with the ketchup. Hello, 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 hello. Hello, Helen. I'm like, Gerald.
Listen,
you describe your family like the Giants in the BFG.
Yes.
I think we are, though.
Look, I think wherever you spend your Christmas, however you spend your Christmas, I hope that it's with less ketchup than Helen, a more diverse, generous, self-loving,
nice mayonnaise-y, ketchup-y, pigs in blanket sandwich, please.
Also, that sounds great. Just enjoy yourself.
Also, my mum doesn't have any bread in the house. She has, like, usually a couple of ends in the freezer, which are, like, beyond freezer
bread.
Because she just doesn't like it. It just
bring
fills
bread.
Her up too much.
Bring bread.
No, because then I'm the big girl that bought bread, and then that's another discussion point for Christmas Day. How are you not understanding this?
Wow. Okay, you need bread for all those roast dinner sandwiches.
I know.
So, but then that's just bring it anyway. Forget what she says. Just bring it because everyone's going to thank you for it.
No, they won't. Pancake will.
Fuck
the
them.
Only person that understands me is my sister's morbidly obese.
More on this with James Acaster. Hey, do your best. Get through it. Eat whatever the hell you want. Enjoy yourself.
I am looking forward to watching loads of TV and not working. That
and
is
the
always
food.
Nice.
I'm excited for the food. I mean, really? The food in your house sounds terrible. You should make those two cheeses into a mac and cheese. You're not going to do that. Have a great Christmas.
Should we introduce James? I feel like this will be a good change of pace for us right now.
Everybody, please enjoy Christmas. James Acaster.
Christmas at James Acaster's house.
Christmas at James... It's not at his
house. It's in the studio.
Yeah, he doesn't tell us where he lives. So
I know.
We get it. What?
Do you not know?
No.
Oh my God, I know.
Have you been to his house?
No, but we spin poke stops, so I know vaguely.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
That's different.
So freaking creepy.
Hello.
it's Catherine Bohart from the podcast Trusty Hogs, but you already knew that. I am going to be at the Soho Theatre doing my new show in a work in progress on the 22nd and 23rd of August. Tickets are selling fast, but they're still on my website, catherinebohart.com. I'd love to see you there. If you haven't been able to make Edinburgh, it might be a nice time for you to see the seedlings of my new show. Thanks so much. Bye.
Hello, James A. Castor. How are you? Are you well?
Good. How are you? Both?
Good, livid. Thanks.
Fucking livid.
What's going on?
We just tried to do a Pokemon trade. I thought we could do two because I caught special Pokemon for James.
What? Yes.
In Lanzarote, their regional Pokemon.
Are you flirting with James Lancaster?
This is how I do it.
Do
you want a Pokemon? Do you want to come on a podcast? And do a
when you were in Lanzarote, where you brought us that horrible fridge magnet, you got James Pokemon.
You're welcome.
What fridge magnet?
She brought me this like,
really
nice fridge. It's hideous.
Lizard on it, Diamante's glitter, and it says Lanzarote along the bottom, and Andrew got a shell.
It had almost certainly been in that shop for like 45 years. It was
six
so fun.
€5, made in China. That's nice, isn't it? That is nice.
Sorry.
James, just circle back. I didn't have you pegged for a Pokemon player.
In 2019, I had a very long tour, and I needed something to do on the tour. And I was watching TV with my nephews, who are really into Pokemon.
Was he on tour with you?
No, but this is like, you know, I had some days off.
Okay, cool.
And I was able to hang out with my nephews, and they love Pokemon. And we were trying to get them out of the house that day, and they didn't want to leave the house.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I know there's this app, and maybe I can get it on my phone. I can say, hey, do you want to go outside and catch Pokemon?
Okay.
So I did that with them, and then I was like, pretty into this, actually, and quite enjoying catching them.
How old is the nephew?
At the time, they would have been 7 and 5.
Okay. Which is Pokemon age appropriate, and we are aware of that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But also, neither of you seem to have been aware of the like addictive nature of this app.
I genuinely still believe it might be a phase. It's been a year or so now, but I still believe it will. One day I'll just wake up and I'll be like, you know what? I don't need
we
to spin that.
We are rounding up on 2022 and you're still playing this.
So 2019 was where I did the majority of my catching and hatching, because there's eggs as well.
Yeah.
So I was catching and hatching all year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, you got to hatch some eggs.
I can't eventually think my phone, so I've got to have it open at all times. It's a bloody nightmare.
Oh, shit. Yeah,
it's all right. I'm all right. I've hatched over 500 eggs, so I do have a gold coin.
If you have Adventure Sync, then even if you're not on the app, it will track your...
I don't care.
Your walk. Okay.
Okay.
It's interesting.
What do the other adults in your life make of it?
I only hang out with people who do it. I'm not talking to people.
We've got a group that we talk about.
You've cut out other
people
who don't.
We're in a WhatsApp group, me and Bauer.
Who else is in the...
Does the name Sakisa mean anything to you?
Oh, yeah. I'm not. Did she...
Roz from Access Malarkey.
Yeah.
Oh,
Henry
Widdicombe.
These are like proper adults.
It's a big group, honey. And we raid together. We haven't for a while, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, here's what we figured out, is that together, we all work in different parts of the comedy industry. And actually, if we wanted to, we've got the skills among us to organise a tour, a world tour, where we go around catching Pokemon, but also like doing gigs and filming it.
Why do I feel like you're pitching to Channel 4 right now and I'm such a...
Because they're going to get it made.
I'm such a disappointed development. Like, exactly. I'm like, uh-huh.
No, that's a good show. I think it's a really good show.
Okay.
The three of us.
And it ends with us in Japan with Pokemon, like actual Pokemon.
Yeah.
It'd be incredible.
Oh my God.
Be a good ending.
This is the thing, we're rounding up the year, and it's nice to know what you're going to do the next year. I think it's very important to have plans.
Yeah, it is important. Speaking of which, how are you spending Christmas?
Ugh.
Don't do that.
I just don't think it's going to be the funnest one I've ever had.
Loved last year.
Last year I loved. Me and my Emma Black, just in our house, just like dicking about, eating, drinking, playing with my Furby. Like, it was so good. I think we watched Funny Girl on Christmas Day. Like,
delightful.
Dreamy. This year, I thought we might do a Brighton Christmas with the family, because my dad lives in Brighton, and I was like...
But he lived in a one bed.
He lives in a one bed, yeah, but we can...
Can you stay there?
No, we can like stay in a hotel.
Okay.
My dad lives on like a
hotel
divorced man's
Christmas
marina sort of a thing.
Okay.
But the problem is there's a part of Brighton called the marina where it's just divorced men in rented units.
Right.
None of them own curtains. There's nothing on the walls. Okay. Like nothing. And I am the most attractive person when I go there. That is
nice.
How I set the scene.
Nice.
And loads of them are like, who needs a wife? I've got a boat. But my dad doesn't have a boat. It's
oh,
just
that's
really
so sad.
But he's thriving. He enjoys himself. It's really close to the sewage works he works in. He's happy.
Great.
Michael's simple pleasures.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, let's do a Brighton Christmas and we can all stay in like a hotel and then hang out on the beach during the day. It's like a wintry beach.
Nice.
Problem is, we don't know what to do with Pancake.
Is Pancake coming?
Okay,
Pancake has to come. The Pancake.
Have you not talked about it in the group?
Well, it doesn't sound like a Pokemon, so it wouldn't get brought up in the group. No,
Pancake is my little sister's hamster / the light of her life.
Right, okay,
it is the only thing she's ever loved.
So morbidly obese. Has to wear guinea pig clothes.
Pancake has to... Well, everything's from the guinea pig aisle now. Pancake,
how's that happening?
Pancake has gained... Because Marianne keeps giving her a hard-boiled egg for fun.
What?
So, there's so much to explain here.
You die!
I know.
Pancake
do you know what?
Can
this
barely
kind of
breathe.
Stuff annoys me so much. I hate people who have pets and the way that they show love for their pet is bad for their pet because it's so selfish. The whole thing is just about her having an animal.
Helen,
give a
make
fuck
him feel
if it
bad.
Dies.
Make him feel bad. Explain.
She doesn't care.
Make him feel bad. Explain.
She doesn't care.
If it dies.
She doesn't know what thing is. It's only got
all
a life
about
expectancy
her.
Of 2 years.
So? Who fucking reasons it like
Helen,
that?
Helen, give context to make James Acaster feel bad.
What?
Explain your sister.
Oh, she's got severe autism.
Okay. Fine.
How quickly you reneged on animal cruelty. You were like,
no, fine. Pancake is the fucking bane of my life, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
So Marianne got Pancake. I always, same as everyone, we all grew up believing, like, oh, Marianne just found it really hard to, like, form emotional attachments with people. Like, she just works differently. And then she got a hamster, and it's like, oh, no, she can love things. She just doesn't love us. So that was really hard to deal with at first.
Good.
Then Pancake started gaining and, like, gaining. And we're not here to body shame, but Pancake can no longer get on a wheel. Pancake can't get into a hamster house, so we have to like exclusively shop in like guinea pig and rabbit size shops. Like it's a fucking nightmare. She eats everything, and because Pancake eats anything that's put in front of her, she's having like eggs all the time, omelets, like full roast dinners, like whatever Pancake wants.
I'm sorry, what?
Pancake gets. Pancake will have
but how would
anything.
She express that she wants that?
Because she's like there going.
Wants anything at this point, doesn't it?
But like, you know, the Nutty Professor, Shelley, and it's just got like, we're like that size now. But Pancake.
Hold on, though. Hold on. So, can't someone step. Will you, like. Can no one step in? Will your sister not have it?
So, Pancake originally lived at my mum's.
Yeah.
That was the deal, that if she stayed at my mum's, then she could get a hamster. So she got the hamster, and then immediately, within 2 days, my sister decided that Pancake was scared of my mum, and if my mum went close to her, Pancake would cry. And that was a deal breaker. A deal breaker.
Okay.
So mum was not allowed access to Pancake. So Pancake was very much like a child in a basement that no one was allowed to access.
But,
we just knew she existed.
Okay, so I used to work at a school with autistic kids.
Yeah.
And
oh, then I can paint the picture. So Marianne's autistic, but she's still a big Bower girl. So like, imagine the strength. So like, don't picture your school autistic.
One of the kids.
It's a relevant factor.
Yeah, there was some of the kids like that we wouldn't fuck with.
So she's definitely like, she's got a good tennis arm.
They did whatever they wanted. Well, I don't know. I think she can still understand like what is and isn't appropriate, right? With the hamster, like you shouldn't be feeding the hamster.
No, because then
she surely knows that hamster shouldn't be that size.
So I go to Marianne like, "Oh, Pancake's really big." She's like, "I know, she's so cute. She loves her so much." And also, like, Pancake will only live 2 years, so we're coming towards the end of the cycle.
I would also
how old is Pancake now?
So Pancake was born last September, but Pancake's birthday is whenever Marianne decides she wants gifts.
So she's had quite a few. Can I just say one thing in Marianne's defense? She parents Pancake exactly how I think I will parent children, which is to say, like, when you're coming to her house, she reminds you in advance you will need to be bringing gifts for the children on account of how
she doesn't
great
remind
the children
are. You, she demands it at the front door.
Yeah. But like, yeah, she does a door check too, which I also like. And she does ultimately build her world around Pancake.
She made 40 fridge magnets for Pancake during lockdown. She walked an hour to go to a print shop to print off pictures to make fridge magnets just in case someone wanted merch.
I don't dislike that. That's quite good.
Do you want one?
No.
She's like the Kris Jenner of Hamster Mom. I love it.
Pancake's got a TikTok now.
Of course,
which is great. It's very exciting for Pancake. But like, basically, so Christmas, Pancake knows Fleet and is more comfortable at my mum's in Fleet than in Brighton. Uh-huh. My mum owns.
Pancake go about the town, or is it just house to house?
So, no, well, then Pancake can travel in her cat-sized carry cot to my mum's for Christmas. But then Marianne's now insisting that we do a stocking for Pancake.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I draw the line at, because I'm not getting a stocking.
That's where you draw the line?
I draw the line. For context, my 30th birthday this year, my dad rung me a week before, and I was like, oh, shit, he's calling because he wants to know what I want for my birthday. This is so exciting. Mm-hmm. And I was like, do you want to know what I want? And he was like, oh, it's lockdown, so there's nothing I can do. And then in a minute, he was like, so I just posted Pancake her Easter gift.
What
the fuck? And then he sent me £20 of M&S vouchers. Make it 30. You fucking cheapskate.
I think it was her 30th birthday.
And he sent me £20 of M&S. That's a dad who knows his kid.
James, have you ever had a pet?
Yeah.
Yeah? Which kinds?
Huh?
What kinds?
Loads of kinds were growing up. I don't think any of them are as interesting as this shit.
Oh, okay. No,
I had a rat. I had my first pet ever was a rat.
What was it called?
Fonzie.
Oh, that's cute.
I don't think they should be pets.
What? Why?
Rat. Clem,
you just sit on my head.
Did you ever feed your rat?
I don't think rats seem like fun.
No, bread. You like bread though.
Rats just don't seem like. Are you supposed to?
What are you making that face like?
A fucking hungry rodent.
That's nasty. Like it's not nasty.
Yeah.
She's actually just making her bread face. Yeah. She's just going like, I want some bread.
I love bread so much.
She loves bread. She loves bread. Okay, and what do you do for lockdown Christmas?
We went to nightmare.
God.
In terms of there was the whole thing about like three households, and then it was like,
yeah, then it changed.
Then suddenly it changed, and there was all that stuff. And so like we had the day that they announced London going to lockdown or whatever it was,
and everyone panicked and bailed.
Yeah, so that morning before they'd made the announcement, my dad had driven to London, picked us up, brought us back to Kempton because we didn't think there was going to be an announcement, and because that was the only day that he could come and pick us up. We didn't want to get the train.
Lucky you.
So we were like, we don't want to get the train and be on the train with everyone. He was like, I can pick you up on this morning. I'm not free at any other time. Came and got us then. But we had been so good with the rules. It's me and my girlfriend. So when we arrived in... at my parents' house, and then they made that announcement, we instantly were like, oh no, we meant to have stayed in there, and now we've been bad, and we weren't meant to leave.
No, that's fine.
And we just felt very torn about whether we should be there or not. Yeah. Maybe we shouldn't be here and all this stuff. So it was one of those, I guess a lot of people can relate to it, all the way through lockdown, just not sure what the rules are, wanting to do the right rules, then thinking you're not doing them and feeling really bad and all that. So it was that was my Christmas, was me sitting there going, should I even be here?
It's hard. That's like all Christmases though, right? It's like a bit of guilt, a bit of angst, a bit of moral quandary, and whether or not you should really be spending it with your, like, that's...
And here we are, back Christmas. To the Irish Christmas. Not everyone feels
Christmas.
Guilt on Christmas.
What?
I don't feel guilt on Christmas Day. Should I? There's no guilt around Christmases.
I wouldn't expect you to feel guilt.
No guilt whatsoever. Last year, me and Emma put it in. Luckily, my brother lives very close. I went and had espresso martinis on his doorstep. Went back to mine.
Espresso martini, very festive.
I exclusively
feel guilt around Christmas.
Why?
Well, the whole thing is like, is it too excessive? Is it not excessive enough? Have I... bought for the right people? Have I bought enough for the right people? Have I bought too much for the people?
Thing is just drama, though.
Am I spending enough time? Am I giving everyone the same amount of equal time? Am I really getting the meaning of it? Am I taking a break? Am I actually supposed to be working through it? Is it the time that you should be making most money because other people don't want to do the gigs? Mm. Is it like, have I let my family down? What am I going to do next year? Have I wasted my year?
Look, you're looking at me like I'm on your side. I'm completely on Catherine's side.
Thank you.
This is exactly, I'm just the same. I'm just thinking too much about that. Present buying, especially, is like, so have I bought a good gift?
Yeah.
Have I bought enough? Have I bought too much? Is a big one.
You know what? My family are so shit at doing gifts. We just don't do them. So, I think it's just very chill. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
You say it's chill, but you told us a story earlier where you didn't sound the most chill person about gifts.
That was my 30th birthday. The 30th birthday, you expect your dad to at least get you a £30 voucher from M&S not 20.
I've never seen my phone ring and thought to myself, they must be ringing to ask me what present I want. So I think, maybe presents for you are a bigger deal than you let on.
Maybe the man makes a solid point.
Okay, you're right. I've been seen.
Yeah, like Pancake can't even get a stocking just because you're not getting one.
Stocking will just be more food.
She gets to live for 2 years.
Yeah.
Let her have her snack.
And have her stocking.
She's huge.
Feels just a little, it's just getting to a bit body shaming and I don't like it. Mm. I don't like it.
She can barely breathe.
I remember when I was younger, my mom used to...
that have Pancake food. If that is true, I mean...
James is going to call somebody.
I'm going to call. I get this hamster rescue. Although I think any animal charity go, how old is it? Oh, that's not worth it. Forget it. If it's made it this long... Give it another egg.
But did you, I don't know if you were like to this, James, but I used to obviously fix the tree when I'd get home my siblings had to be allowed to also decorate it, but then I would fix it because I have OCD. So fun. And then the other thing I would do is take out all of the presents repeatedly, especially if somebody added one when they'd been wrapped from under the tree, and then put them back in so that they were like as symmetrical as they could be under a tree in a situation that's never symmetrical, but ultimately we try. And so my mom often now even will like chuck the decorations on, chuck the gifts under, and then be like, Catherine, I'll fix it. And I love to, so that's fine. But part of that operation used to be that my mother would have me count how many gifts each of us has currently under there.
Oh, no. So
that she could check that we all have exactly the same.
Yes, yeah.
Isn't that like a thing for the Dursley family in Harry Potter? That's like a sign that he's a bad boy, is that he has to count how many presents he gets?
But the problem is my mom has three kids who are going like, it's cool, we don't need any more stuff. And she's like... Mm-hmm.
Quickly buy them a yo-yo.
Yeah, she's like, they must have exactly, they must all know I love them equally and the most. It's like very, so she really puts a lot of love into.
Okay, I know that. Christmas. I definitely do look at my siblings.
So what I'm saying is I didn't lick it off a stone. Like I got it from somewhere, you know. And then I feel that way about all the people in my life, but also simultaneously like we're ridding the planet and like capitalist mentality.
But we've talked about this before. Like you don't have to get everyone a gift. Like people don't expect it. Like you expect that they will expect it, but people don't. Everyone's very chill.
I don't think that's true.
I mean, I want a gift from you, and James is expecting his at the end of the recording.
Obviously, that makes sense to me.
My fingers for a stocking full of eggs or whatever.
Oh my god! Could you imagine when I show up on Christmas morning with like two hard-boiled eggs of pancake? That'd be fucking great, wouldn't it?
That's the only thing
I have to buy. Just that.
Yeah.
Do it.
I'm doing it.
One Christmas, my stocking was just a CD. And I was the happiest ever. Yeah, normally it was like loads of little things. And one Christmas, my parents had just kind of gone, oh, he wants this album, so we'll just put the album in a stocking and that's it. And I woke up and it's a stocking.
No Clementines or...
Nothing. funny enough, I wasn't jonesing for Clementines. But like,
if you're trying to fill a stocking, you'd think you'd be like, okay, we got him.
Sure.
So like, I guess we just put some fruit.
Do you want to discuss the CD with us?
Well, I mean, it won't make me sound cool. It won't make me.
It was an REM album.
It was an REM album. That's not like the coolest thing ever. But like, I really wanted it because I read an article about them making it, and I really wanted the album. And I was like, I really want this album.
It hurts my heart. It's so sweet.
I was a teenager because like it was like. So there are two I was raised on R.E.M. and Bruce Springsteen was what my parents were playing a lot in the house. My mum was listening to Bruce Springsteen a lot. Nice. My dad was listening to R.E.M. a lot. I liked both of them a lot. And R.E.M. had just lost their drummer that year. He had left the band and to be a farmer. And
this is your chance.
And they decided that they would do an album without, but instead of replacing him, they would use a drum machine. And I read this article about it in a free magazine with a newspaper. And it was like them talking about living in, like going to Hawaii or somewhere and learning how to use this drum machine and making an album out of it. And I was really into it and was like, I really want to hear what they've done, because that's like so different for them.
I think this is pretty cool for a kid.
And I was like saying like to my dad, because my dad likes R.E.M., I was like, Dad, isn't this cool? They like did an album with a drum machine.
He bought you a gift like, he wanted for your.
Well, no, to be fair to him, he bought me a gift that I wanted and he didn't ask to listen to it. He was just like, that's his album, he's got it. And he just left it. Aww. And it was just mine. And the reason why it was so great to get an album is that normally you wake up, get your stocking, open it all on your bed, and then you're waiting for, like, your granddad to have a shave or whatever. For some reason, that's what he wants to do before opening presents. And you're like, come on!
Make any jokes about you sounding like some sort of Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. But then you went there and I don't know what to do with it. Talk about how tragic it is that if you, like, if you dramatically left a band as the drummer and they were like, oh, we'll just replace you with a machine.
A machine.
But whilst then, you return to the land industry that's already being mechanised.
It's hard in the heart if they replaced you with another drummer as well.
Yeah, I think he I think he would have liked the fact that, oh, I'm irreplaceable. They don't want to replace me with a person. They're doing like, they'd rather replace me with just a different sound altogether.
You don't think a man who goes to be a farmer thinks that the world is becoming too, like, machine run?
Good point. Yeah,
I think that's crazy. I'd be like, you're right. That is savage.
It's the worst thing for him.
Don't ruin this Christmas. He'd rather be got fond memories of it.
Replaced by a sheep or something.
Exactly. How was the album?
I love it. I still love it. It's like one of my favourite. I mean, me and Nish Kumar, whenever we get drunk together and it's just the two of us, end up always the same conversations. We have two conversations when we get drunk enough, just the two of us. One is we recap how we met each other.
Nice.
and we go over that entire story.
That's so cute.
The two different gigs we did together, there was a gig where I thought Nish was a good guy but a shit comedian, and he thought that I was a shit person but a good comedian. And we talk about that and how our opinions have changed over the years. And we really go over about, basically then we just talk about our friendship for ages. And then there's another conversation we have, which is just discussing our top five R.E.M. albums. And we do it every time.
I've never thought of you as a lesbian couple before, but now I'm like, wow, that's who you are.
Really sweet.
Before we get asked on Twitter, what's the album called?
Up is the album very few people have it. Very few R.E.M. fans have it in their top five. It's in my top five.
Well, I think if anyone's looking to get that last minute stocking gift for their kids for Christmas in 2 days' time, just go out, buy the album Up, wrap it. They'll love it. Look at Abby.
They will love it.
Loving CDs these days. What? No.
It gives them something to listen to before the presents. You need something to do while granddad's shaving and putting a suit on to sit there and have presents. Like, you need something to do, and you can only eat so many chocolates and like still be like,
no, he's right. You need stuff to do on Christmas Day, because we didn't do stockings 3 years ago, and it ended up being Christmas Day. My mum was like having proper conversations with people in the kitchen, and it was me, my dad, my uncle Jerry, my uncle Philip watching the documentary about John Demjanjuk and whether it was actually him at Treblinka death camp. Like, that was it. Just me and like four mouth breathing morons, just all of us just going like, do you think it's him?
I'm not religious, but this is the case for a good morning mass.
That is the German version of morning mass.
Yeah, it just fills up the hours. You know what I mean?
I think, no, it is him. Yeah, richtig.
Because I stopped going to mass, and my brother and I are now like, I guess we'll just do a 10K on Christmas Day because there's nothing else to do.
Well,
for that, those like 3 hours where you're like, well, we had breakfast and we're waiting for dinner. What do we?
TV!
I like running. We always diverge here. Andrew, is there a problem that James can help us solve for a listener?
Yeah, there is indeed.
I feel like I'm going to walk away with more problems than I came with. Personally.
You're fine! Okay, let's do it.
Oh my goodness.
He's having a nice day.
Good, thank you.
James You're just never coming back. Oh. Okay, go on.
People come back. Pokemon. People come back.
It's like episode 12 now. Go on.
This is from H. It says, hello, Hogs.
Have we had H before?
There's only 26 letters in the alphabet, Catherine. Would you believe it if I said it was from X?
Oh, right,
hold on. Do you refer to your...
We anonymise it because some people put like personal issues and stuff.
Okay. So whereas like Helen full names every member of her family and tells you their workplaces, home addresses, and
travel lodges of choice,
previous ex-wives' addresses.
Okay,
we just think let's give them some privacy. Yeah,
but kind of as a result, everyone thinks that H from Steps has got a lot of problems.
Huge number of problems.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's gone through a lot.
A wide range. Yeah, yeah.
Go on.
Anyway. They say some lovely things about the podcast, and they say the issue is that they're feeling very creatively impotent at the moment, especially since the pandemic started. Normally they'd go out to theatre and gigs, and that inspiration would feed into their own creative work,
brackets,
normally short fiction and scripts. And then when that was taken away, they started a podcast with a friend, but they've not had time to start up again, and they've just not had a lot of time to do anything creative. They feel like their head's not in it, and there's a lack of inspiration. And it feels like that the only thing they can do is their droney office job.
Okay, I'll take this. Paint them by numbers. Easy. Get them on Amazon, 99p. You're creative. You're filling in the gaps. No thought to it. Done. Creatively impotent. Over. Painting by numbers.
Do you do that?
I'm sorry, what?
No.
Because I'm creatively flowing, baby. No, I don't fucking know, do I? I just think, like, you go through phases of, like, coming up with loads of ideas and being really creative, and then sometimes it's just not there, and there's no point trying to bully yourself out of it. It comes and goes.
There is a second part as well.
Oh.
Here we go. This is going like to make you look like an absolute arsehole. I can't wait to hear this next part.
Say I've done painting by numbers. It doesn't work.
P.S. I'm colourblind, they say at the end.
Yeah.
No, they say, how do you remind yourself that you actually are a creative person when you're not feeling it? And B, how do you combat comparing yourself to more motivated and successful creative friends?
Merry Christmas.
No, I think there's three important things there. How do you stop comparing yourself, and how do you convince yourself you're still a creative person, but also like whether or not there is such a thing as like creative impotence? I think
I do the comparing self one?
Please.
So I don't think you can stop comparing yourself to other people.
Oh, wait.
It's just natural. It's a very natural thing. You can choose not to indulge it, but I think you naturally will look at other people at any point in your life and be like, oh, they're all like getting married, for example, or they're doing this career goal, or they're buying this house, or they've traveled to this place and I've never been there, or they've got that Pokemon, I don't have that Pokemon, his dex count's better than mine.
Too specific.
Like, of course you compare yourself, it's just whether you indulge it or not. Because I always think, you must have this as well in comedy, like people always say, like, don't read your reviews, don't look at how other people are doing, blah, blah, blah. Like, we're going to. Like, it's just natural. You are going to see how other people are doing. It's just part of it. Just choose to go like, oh, okay, well, good for them, and move on. Don't bully yourself to not do something that's natural. Yeah. Right?
What do you think, James?
I think...
Agree with me.
Yeah. I broadly agree with you on that. I think different people are more prone to it than others. And people who aren't prone to it are very bad at empathising with the people who are prone to it. They kind of go like, well, just don't care what they're doing. Who cares? Yeah. And you're like, yeah, but it's really in my head. And and I think definitely not beating yourself up about that sort of stuff and going, look, logically, I know it doesn't matter what that person's doing.
Yeah.
Because I can still do what I want to do, but I acknowledge that this is making me feel a certain way. I mean, for so much of this year, I was like, well, Bo Burnham's done that, so I might as well quit. And like, and there was a huge thing of just being like, yeah, fuck.
He's taller than you as well, right?
He's taller than me.
Oh, good job, Catherine. Well done.
Yeah. But yeah, I was just like, he's done what all of us want. Every comedian wanted to do that in lockdown, and he's done it, and he's nailed it, and I'm never going to do anything that's that good in my career. And then you just kind of go, oh, do you know what, let's just, like, it doesn't matter if you don't ever do anything that's that, because like really you logically know that none of that matters, none of that means anything. Some people will prefer something that you do or whatever, and it's all subjective, and it's really, you're not doing this, you didn't get into this to compete with other people. And I think that the only thing, because there's so many things in with our job that you kind of like come up against, writer's block or whatever, feeling that you're not doing as well in your career as you should be, feeling that other people are doing better. And I think the only thing that really solves it all is remembering why you started in the first place and going, I started this because I love this, 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 and this. I didn't yes. start it because I was like, I'm going to be the best, or I'm going to get great reviews, or I'm going to win an award, or anything. You were like, you watched something, like this person saying that, I guess I get the thing of like, she can't go to, or they can't go to performances anymore. And so they're struggling to get that. Because yeah. it does get give you that.
Yeah, I went to see Pretty Woman the musical 2 weeks ago. I've been flying high at my new material nights since then.
I'll bet you have.
I think what is interesting, though, is I think a lot of people will be struck by hearing you say that it's something that you, like with Bo, because I think other people would look to you and go, but he has it made. I don't understand. And I think that what it kind of does remind me of is like, there's no point you get to where you're like, ah, I'm here.
Mm.
I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I win. There's always like, if you want there to be, there's always something to go, oh, well, I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
Like, so I think that you kind of have to figure out, like you say, why
what
you're doing
what Catherine's saying is just measure your success by the amount of followers you have on social media and then just compare yourself to other people based on that.
No,
and
what
if
I'm
you're feeling
saying
down,
is,
get a bot and...
What I was actually going to say was that I think that I'm very bad at not looking left to right. But what I have done recently is try to figure out, I never ask myself, I always go, oh, look, they've got this or they've done this. I never go, do I want that? I'll just go, so I should feel bad about myself. And going, do I want that? Is really helpful because actually half the time the answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
And the other half the time is like, yep. Oh, that's a useful thing to know. And now I could do something about that.
Yeah.
Rather than like, I just think it can be quite a constructive way of figuring out what's underneath the jealousy. Is like, is it like actually just I'm feeling bad about myself? But also, I do think we missed one useful thing, which is like, I don't necessarily buy into the idea that there's like times you're inspired and times you're not inspired.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
what?
I think there is some work that comes at you more easily and other times that don't. I'm sorry, Helen, I'm going to disagree with you.
Don't be sorry, be better.
But I think sometimes you do just have to. There are things you can do to methodically get into patterns of work that are fucking boring and like moving through molasses, but like writing exercises that I know are tedious. But I think if I personally go, I just have to wait till the block goes and I am inspired. I could not write another joke ever. Because since my first 5 minutes of stand-up, nothing has come to me just like, oh, yeah. I could just do this.
I think everyone is so different. That, like, for me, it is like a case of like, if I'm desperately trying to get something down, then I do have a tendency to be like, okay, well, I should have a bit about that because that would get into this. And then I desperately try and think about it instead of it just allowing it to be like organically like, okay, well, what's going on at the moment? Let me chat that out. Obviously, there are examples of times where I've sat down and written, but like once, maybe twice.
I mean, to be clear, I write like, I don't write full fleshed out bits, but I think that if you're like sometimes for me it really helps to go back over stuff I've already written if I'm feeling really stuck because then it's already started. I'll just go, can I add anything here, and then my brain starts to work.
I agree with that. Go through old recordings, go through like notepads from like years ago, like retrospectively looking at it is really useful.
Or like I'll do really basic 101 writing tasks like write a thank you letter to a thing you hate. And it's like, if I just do 5 minutes of this today, maybe my brain will start working.
Never heard of that one. That's interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, it's a very...
How many thank you letters have you written me? there was another part to that question as well, was there not?
Do you have anything that you do that helps you unblock?
I remind myself that the first draft of anything is going to be shit.
Yes.
And then I just get on with writing the shit thing.
That's so true.
And so I just kind of try and be like, because the thing that's stopping me is that I want to write something that's really brilliant and all I have in my head is shit ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I just go, yeah, that's the point. No one writes the brilliant thing straight away. So just write the shit thing and then later on in the week or whenever, you can go over this again and make it good. And that's how you've done everything that you've ever done. So, like, that's and like, I didn't like. You said my first 5 minutes of stand up was shit. But like, I was like, took me so long to get like a decent five or whatever. So like, I just always remind myself like, it's always been like this. This isn't a new thing, and that sometimes just following up what you've already done is half the thing. You know, half the kind of like. battle anyway, or is an achievement in itself. Like, there's loads of bands that I love who have done like albums that like everyone loves, and then I look at their follow-up album and they've just done like, they've almost just like thrown it out the following year.
Maroon
and it's
5
not
songs
very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. but they've just kind of gone, who cares, we just want to do a thing and put it out there. And I think sometimes just doing it is enough, I think.
Do you write this, if you are going to write, is there a specific time of day you write?
I do find the late night thing works for me.
Oh, interesting.
But that's only because when I first started doing stand-up, I was working like a job where I have to be at the place at 5 a.m. to set up the breakfast buffet. Jeez. So then I would do a gig in the evening and then I would go to a bar and just sit and write, which sounds so much cooler than it actually was.
Yeah.
But yeah, late at night for sure. Because I write to deadlines, so if there's a new material night, then I'll panic ideas down, I'll do it on stage, and then I can rewrite it immediately afterwards. Nice. But the idea of waking up first thing in the morning, like, I want to get up in the morning, I want to have my chucky porridge, and I want to watch The Simpsons.
Yeah, like, you like your poodle, I know. Yeah. James?
Either first thing or last thing, yeah. Like, either straight away, it's a brand new day, I'm a new man, I'm going to write something, I'm going to be this guy.
Every day.
I'm this guy who's going to do stuff and be productive.
Don't you feel like you've got to do your like Pokemon, like you've got to spin your first Pokestop of the day, you've got to catch your first Pokemon of the day, you've got to complete your challenge?
I'm dex driven, so not as much that, but like, you know.
He has identified as dex driven already, actually. Like, listen to him when he's
just trying to.
Like, feels like he's said who he is, and you're not paying attention. So that's crazy. Yeah.
That's fine, right in the morning, like everyone else does, fucking cliche hack.
Or it's last thing, because, like, you know, I find it very hard to start writing in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I'm already this guy. And then, or it's last thing, I'm like, oh, shit, I've done nothing.
Quiet your mind,
day.
Get everything on the paper, and then go to bed. Like, something quite relaxing about that.
Yeah.
Pen and paper or computer guy?
It depends what it is. So stand up, I don't write any of it down. And everything else is just on computer.
Sorry, what do you mean you don't write any of it down?
I just write keywords in my notes app and that's it.
Preach. And then the same bullet pointed out.
Yeah. I used to. And I wrote my second show. I really loved sitting down and writing it every day and writing it on the computer. And it was really fun. And I really got into it like that. And then the third show I did, I tried to write it like that. And I just gave myself kind of what this person's talking about. I couldn't see myself, my way past certain lines or expanded routines, and I really hated writing it.
Yep.
And so the fourth show, I just thought, I'm not going to write stuff down anymore, and I'm just going to enjoy
think
it.
We are very similar, but I think we've been taught to, maybe made to feel like if we do that, we're like lazy comics. But I always listen back, and I just can't. When I start to write out like full sentences, it becomes, I told you this, I become like a war widow. I'm like, it was a crisp, cool morning. And it's like, that's not a joke. God, what am I doing?
You're doing a creative writing essay for GCSE English.
Yeah. Painful.
Doing a nice Stedford. You're getting up and just reciting it in front of everyone. It's in it. On the page, it was good. Just
I was
nice
very
article.
Good at the
I
Stedford.
I bet you were.
Fucking Woodley Festival speech and drama. Like, that's my fucking world.
Have we answered Hage's questions?
No, but we tried our best.
What were the questions?
How to stop comparing yourself to others, and how do you remind yourself that you're a creative person?
So you can't, and you're not. So you're just fine. Be an okay person, and then be a little slightly more creative, better sharpened person when you've done the first shit draft.
Acceptance, right?
That's you're welcome.
Accept yourself, and then I think just accept that you're gonna compare yourself to other people, and that doesn't make you.
And that is our word of the day. Acceptance. The message of Christmas.
That's the message of Christmas.
The message of Christmas is acceptance.
Yeah.
That's not the message of.
It's accepting gifts.
Even if you don't like
them. It's accepting at the age of 12 that.
Fine. It's accepting that pancake's going to die early.
Yeah. It is. Oh.
Acceptance.
Oh, that's.
Merry Christmas. Thank you for doing our stupid podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Christmas,
Merry Christmas.
Do you want to plug anything even though?
Oh yeah, do you want to plug Burnham
special?
Bo Burnham
special.
Listen to the menu. Obviously everyone already listens to it, but if you don't, listen.
Lovely. If people want to go on my website, jamesacaster.com, and buy my special that came out earlier this year, that'd be cool. It's called Cold Lasagna, Hate Myself, $19.99, and it comes with a bonus show as well if you want to buy it.
Does it?
Directly from my website.
You bloody show off.
A 40-minute B-sides.
It was B-sides.
Yeah, yeah. It's
made with like a drum machine.
Yeah.
Pretty hyped. Yeah, it's very exciting.
I'm very excited for these B-sides.
Question, can they buy it on CD?
No, that would be cool though.
Yeah.
No, it's just you can basically get
a link.
Download, yeah. You basically have to watch it on Vimeo. Apologies, but
no,
like,
you're saving the planet.
That's the way I've done it.
That's good.
Yeah,
excellent,
perfect.
Do that.
Should we sing?
No.
Okay.
What were you going to do? Silent Night,
a Christmas song or something?
Oh yeah.
Why don't you sing us out there?
I don't know,
Helen,
if I know the lyrics to Silent Night.
It's ironic that you don't. Okay. That's fine. Happy Christmas, James and Catherine. Thank you for being here. Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.